On the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 26 is where we want to read today. I hope you have your Bible and can follow along. If not, Christy and Daryl are faithfully putting these verses up for us. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, these words of Jesus was reminding the disciples that he was going to be their source and that he was the only hope for them. He had told the woman just two chapters back in John chapter 4, he had told that woman that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, talking about water in the natural. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So let's talk a few minutes this morning about hunger, about spiritual hunger. Are you hungry? You know, back when Fred Amberge was alive, I never had to even look at my watch to determine if it was time for the service to conclude. Because those of you that remember Fred, about 12 o'clock, he'd start getting nervous in his seat, and he would get up and walk out the door, slip out the side door, and it was always a little reminder to me, it's 12 o'clock, it's time to let Fred go eat lunch. I found out later that Fred he got up about 4 o'clock in the morning and fixed his own breakfast early in the morning, so by 12 noon, he was starving. And so he was a good reminder that it was 12 o'clock and time to quit. So I don't usually look at my watch too much, but for those of you that eat right at 12 noon, I'll do my best. But I want to talk to you, first of all, about spiritual hunger, and how important it is to have a spiritual appetite. You see, really, spiritual appetite is what happens after you're born again. When you get truly born again, as a matter of fact, it is one of the greatest evidences that someone has truly been born again is they begin to have an appetite for the things of God. They're interested in the Bible. They're interested in the things of God. They're interested in being in church. They want to hear teaching and preaching, and they have this appetite for the things of the Lord. It's just a natural thing for a Christian, a newborn Christian, especially to have this desire for spiritual things, this desire. You know, little babies, when they're born, you don't have to train them or teach them how to nurse. They are born with that instinctive nature to desire food. They desire to eat. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so little children, babies, small children, you kind of gauge what's going on with them oftentimes by their appetite. And if they're not eating right, then you get concerned. You wonder, are they sick? Is something going on? If they're not, because it's just a natural instinct for a baby and a child to want to have something. They're just naturally, the appetite is there. And when it's not there, you get concerned. You really do. You get concerned. And so Christians that are not interested in the things of God, the Word of God, fellowshipping in the presence of God, Christians that lose their spiritual appetite, they're not hungry for the things of God, then I think we should get concerned. And if you don't have much interest in the things of God or God's Word, you should get very concerned because your appetite is very telling as to your spiritual life and your spiritual condition. New Christians, as I've already said, especially, are hungry for the Word of the Lord. And I've seen it so many times. They want to be in church. Every time the doors are open, they'll even visit other churches. They're constantly, they have this, just a voracious appetite for the things of God. But then as you go along and serve the Lord, you kind of get, a little careless. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your desire for the things of God. And so it's an important thing. And one of the things, reasons, sometimes children are hungry, but they're just distracted. Kids are easily distracted if they get excited or if other things are going on, other kids are around them or other things, they would rather play than eat. They would rather, be distracted by other things. You know that we can be distracted too. We get distracted. There's just so many things that can grab the attention away from the things of God. I can remember hearing mothers say to children, you need to stop talking so you can eat. If you remember, those of you that remember Sister Sherwood's class, who was, like this teacher who had it down. She knew what had to be done. The lunch period is about 20 minutes they had in the lunchroom to eat. And for the first 10 minutes of that 20-minute time, it was no talking. No talking for the first 10 minutes. Because she knew that if they sat there and talked and fellowshipped, 20 minutes would go by and they would not have eaten their food. She just knew little kids. And sad to say, those of us that have been around the Lord and around the church for a long time, we lose our appetite. We get distracted by a lot of other things that aren't important or distracted. You ought to have my job sometime. And I stare out there and I see people clipping their fingernails and playing with the babies and, on their phones and doing this and doing that. And I'm wondering, Lord, what am I going to have to do to get everyone's attention and stir up people's desire for the things of God? I believe that God wants to give us a renewed appetite for spiritual things. Amen. A desire for the Word of the Lord. A desire for the things of God. And Brother Greg mentioned this somewhat in the Sunday school class. Today, when it comes to just reading the Bible and just the day-to-day desire for the Word of the Lord, you just have to stay at it. You just have to develop the habit of it and get in the pattern of
of reading and studying and time in the Word of the Lord. You may not always feel like it, but you always need it and will always benefit you because your soul needs to be fed. There are too many things in this world that are distracting us away from the things of God. Amen. So I just, you know, when people, I look down, I see a lot of people on their phones. I'm just assuming that you are on your Bible app and you're following along. Please let that be true. Please let that be true. Are you hungry? Well, you know, spiritual food, we need to be reminded of this. Spiritual food is from another world. Spiritual food is from another world. John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. This is in John chapter 4. The disciples go to town to get food. And Jesus spends the first part of that chapter dealing with that Samaritan woman at the well and talking to her about living water. When the disciples get back, then they say, here is food. You need to eat. And Jesus said, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. He was talking about spiritual food. He was talking about spiritual priorities. He was talking about things that should fill us up and should satisfy us that is not of this world. Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 3. You remember the children of Israel, they're in the wilderness. And God miraculously provides heavenly food for them. Deuteronomy 8 and 3. It says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. It just means you didn't know what it was. Your fathers didn't know what it was. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. What was he saying? He was saying to them, this is food from heaven that your fathers, you don't know what it is. Your father don't know what it is. As a matter of fact, the word manna means what is it? They all went out there and they saw this laying on the ground and they said, what is it? So that's what they named it. They named it manna, which just means in the Hebrew, what is it? I tell you what it was. It was food from heaven. It was heavenly food that could supply just what they needed for their wilderness journeys. It was just what they needed to sustain them and to keep them. And so, you know, the things that you feed on, the word of the Lord and the things of God, you don't naturally have an appetite for them. There are too many other things distracting us today. We have an appetite for everything else, but when it comes to spiritual things, you don't naturally have an appetite for the things of God. They are spirit. It comes from a spiritual hunger and a spiritual desire. A lot of times, you know, people, you know, you talk to people about what the Bible says, and they say that, well, what is it? What is it? What is this? We don't understand what this is or how this could be important. It's because it is bread from heaven that feeds the soul of the believer. Praise God. So spiritual food is from another world. It's not comprehended by the world, the world we live in. But as a spiritual person, as a believer, a person born of the Spirit of God, you have an appetite and a desire for the word of the Lord. God made sure that manna was only good for the day. If they tried to save it to the next day, it corrupted. It was no good by the next day. Every morning it had to be something fresh. My, isn't that an important lesson for all of us, that God has something for Sunday, but you know he has something fresh for Monday also, and Tuesday, and every day of the week. Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry? I do believe that if you'll just begin to partake of the things of God, that that appetite will be developed and you'll begin to develop a desire for spiritual things. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then you'll like it. I was thinking of this earlier during the Sunday school class, that when I was a kid, there I eat a lot of things now that I wouldn't have even touched when I was a kid. But now my appetite has changed. As a kid, I wouldn't touch broccoli. I wouldn't touch a lot of vegetables. Asparagus? No way. There's just a lot of things that I had no appetite for, but I later on tasted it. I developed a taste for it, and now I prefer a lot of those things. I'm just telling you that to say that you may not have a desire and an appetite for a lot of the things of God's Word, but if you'll just delve into it, if you'll just taste it, if you'll just get into it and read it and study in it, pray over it and ask the Lord to speak to you, God will give you a desire for the things of God. Amen. And you'll see truth in every book of the Bible. You'll see truth that applies to your life in every book of the Bible. And you can learn in ways that you never would have ever thought that you can. But you can, because God has caused you to hunger and thirst for the things of the Lord. Amen. This desire comes from the Lord. And this desire provides for us blessing. Amen. You will have a life that is much more blessed if you will be willing to spend time with God and with His Word and develop a spiritual appetite. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's the life that's blessed. The life that's blessed is the life that learns how to feed upon the truths of God's Word. Job said in Job 23 and 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It's more important to me than my natural food. It has become important to me to read it and to glean from it and to feed my soul upon the Word of the Lord. Amen. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Well, the sad thing is the scripture says that if there's a famine in the land, there's a famine in the land, and that is a famine for the hearing of the Word of the Lord. Let me read you a verse from Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. I have to tell you that I feel a weighty responsibility. I think most preachers, if they're worth anything at all, then they bear a responsibility. They're concerned about what's going to happen and what they're going to say, and they mull over it. Most of my Saturday nights are not that good of sleep because I'm mulling it over in my mind and wrestling with it and trying to make sure that I'm on the right track. There's been a few times that I've sent notes on Saturday over to Christy to make preparation for Sunday. And then by Sunday morning, I've had to completely switch gears and turn it around because I just didn't feel like I was on the right track. So I think that we have to bear the responsibility of what happens when we declare the word of the Lord, because you want to make sure that people are fed spiritually, that their hearts are stirred, and that God is speaking by his word to their hearts. And so it's not just a talk. Some preachers call it a talk. It's not just a talk when we get up here. It's not just conversation. It's not just, you know, sermonizing. It's more than that. There has to be time with the Lord, time with His Word, asking the Lord, Lord, for this particular day, this particular service, what do You want to say? How do You want to speak? Because He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what's in your heart. He knows who will be in that particular service. And so how important it is that we hear the voice of the Lord. God forbid that there would be a famine here at this location, a famine of the word of the Lord, but instead that God would speak to His church and feed His church through the ministry of the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's our desire. And asking the Lord to do that every time that we come together. John 6:32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Amen. So when you walk out of the house of God, my desire is that you know a little bit more about Jesus, that you've drawn a little closer to Jesus, and that you've had an encounter with Jesus in the presence of the Lord. That should be our desire. It is my desire that somehow through the service, through the worship, through the ministry of the Word of God, that you would see Him in a new way and gain new insights into the things of the Lord. Amen. So I believe we need to, all of us need to really take a close look at what we're feeding on and ask the Lord to forgive us for feeding on so many things that are not good for us. A lot of times when little children don't want to eat, it's because they have been sneaking around and eating other things. And their little tummy is full. So when it comes time for the good things, they don't have room for the good things. They have no appetite. So is it true of you and me that we're easily distracted because we're filled up with the things of this world. And there's so many sources of it out there in this world today. And we feed on those things, and then we come to the house of the Lord and we have no appetite for the things of God. Jeremiah 2:13, for My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of the living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That was the word of Jeremiah to a nation that had turned away from the true things, the living water, turned away from that and turned to something that really only provided an emptiness and no satisfaction. Nothing that the world has to offer can really satisfy the longing of your soul. Amen. Only the Lord. Only the way of the Lord. The book of Ruth, chapter 1:1, it starts off there in that verse with, it came to pass in those days that the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A famine in the land. What? A famine? They lived in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the house of bread. Everybody from that region came to Bethlehem to buy grain. It was known as the house of bread. And when Bethlehem is barren, then the whole region is barren. That's the reason why it's so important that the church has something to offer to hungry souls in this world. There's such a need. There's such a longing. There's such a desire. And I believe there are a lot of people out there, their hearts are longing, they are hungering and thirsting, and it can't be fulfilled in any of the things of this world. It can only be satisfied in the house of the Lord. But if the house of the Lord is in a famine, then the whole area is in trouble. That's why it's so important that the church be open that the church be a place where people can come in a crisis hour and have their spiritual needs met. Praise God. Here's what happens if the house of bread becomes a famine. It happened to Naomi and her husband and her sons. They go to the land of Moab. They leave the house of bread and they went to the land of Moab. Moab was a land filled with idolatry. A lot of people have walked away from the church because they were not hearing and receiving what they needed to hear. Their soul wasn't being satisfied and fed in the house of the Lord. Oh God, let that never, ever be true at this location. That the word of the Lord would always be available. When the house of bread becomes a place of devastation, a famine, then people go to Moab, a place of idolatry. Moab, the name Moab means fornication. Fornication. It was named for the person Moab, who was born of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. And God forbade the Israelites from intermarrying with the Moabites. He said, if you intermarry with them, they will turn your hearts away from God and turn you to other gods. Don't do it. Don't do it. And Naomi learned the sad, sad truth of what happens when you go to the land of Moab. She suffered it. It's a place of death. First her husband, and then her two sons. And all she has left are those two daughter-in-laws. But then she heard that once again there was bread in Bethlehem. And she remembered what it was like. I'm telling you, there's people by the hundreds and maybe even thousands of people in our community that used to come into this place, used to be in this house of God. And I just pray that out there in Moab, that they'll get a hunger and a desire for the things of God, and that we can pray and seek God and make sure that every time we gather together, that there is bread being served to hungry people in this world. She heard that the famine was over and that there was bread in Bethlehem once again. She starts out to travel with her two daughter-in-laws back. Let me tell you, the world is empty. The world disappoints. People try the world. They go out. They try the things of the world. There's nothing but heartbreak, emptiness, disappointment out there in the world. Let's provide a place where those that have been disillusioned by the world can run back to God, back to the house of God, back to the house of bread, and be fed. Let's this house of God be a place where those that have been disappointed by the world, they'll run back to God and get help, and their soul can be satisfied. Praise God. Naomi, here's the famine's over in Bethlehem. Amen. Glory to God. If there is something going on in this place right here, if there is a move of God, if there is a life-giving bread that's being poured out, if there is the working of the Spirit of God in this place, people will hear about that. They will hear of it, and they will understand, I can get help if I can get back into the presence of the Lord. There is a way back. There is a way back to the house of the Lord. Naomi's name means grace. And grace was leading her two daughter-in-laws back to the house of bread. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful lesson in God's mercy and God's restoration power. Now, Oprah, her name means stiff-necked. So she wept over at the crossroads. She wept over leaving Ruth and Naomi. But it was just surface, apparently, because her name means stiff-necked. She turned back and went back to Moab. But Ruth's name means friend or companion. And so she is willing. As a matter of fact, she states right there, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you lodge, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to follow you, Naomi. I'm going to follow Grace. I'm going to follow you to the house of bread. She had never been there before. She didn't know much about it. All she knew is she was going to follow Naomi back to the house of bread. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There she could receive help. Now, Ruth did not realize the significance of the decision that she made that day to go with Naomi. She could not have ever have imagined what was going to happen. She expected to live the life of a humble servant for the rest of her life, and she was contented to do that. She was willing to do that. So as soon as they get into Bethlehem, then she understands what I've got to do is I've got to go out and find a field. And there in that field, in the corners, the law required them to leave little handfuls on purpose of grain there. And I'm going to go there and be with all the other slaves and the servants. And I'm going to gladly glean for myself and for Naomi. But she didn't realize that Grace was leading her to the house of bread. And not only to be barely provided for, but in that very place where she was going to, that very field where she was going to be a servant, it wasn't going to be long until she was going to be owner. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. She was going to marry the owner. She had no idea. She couldn't have imagined it or dreamed up the possibility of what could happen. It says that she happened on a certain field. Oh no, it wasn't just an accident. It was God's sovereign hand that was upon her, leading her to that place so that she could be ministered to. And while she's there, Boaz comes out. And out of all of those maidens and servants that are working in the corners of the field, his eyes fell upon her. And he immediately becomes her protector. He immediately becomes her provider. He becomes, of course, Boaz is that wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who provides everything that we are in need of. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. The Lord recompense thee thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I don't know. I just believe that as soon as Ruth made the decision to follow Naomi and to start in that journey with her toward the house of bread, that she was underneath those wings. Praise God. She was underneath those wings. Underneath those wings that you have already, that you have come to trust, that underneath the wings God was directing her steps. God was providing for her, and God was going to satisfy her with greater than anything she could have ever imagined. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to assure you that everything of this world will, you will find emptiness. If it's money that you're after, money can't satisfy. It can't. If it's friends that you're after, they can't satisfy. If it's career, it can't satisfy. If it's business, it can't satisfy. Nothing. Nothing that's of this world can really feel the longing of your heart. If you're hungry, it's only going to be satisfied by the Lord, by the things of God, by the bread of life. And once you begin to pursue the house of bread and the things of God, then you're going to be in that place of God's blessing, God's provision, God taking care of you, sovereignly working in your life to bless you and to satisfy you, just as he did Ruth. Glory to God. What an amazing story it is of the grace of God, and how wonderful it is to follow grace to the house of bread and there find hope for the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you hungry? Are you desiring the things of God? Well, taste and see. The Lord is good. Just go ahead and partake of the things of the Lord. And you'll begin to develop a spiritual appetite. Cut off all those other things that are filling up your life and begin to pursue God and the things of the Lord. Are you hungry? Let the Lord be the one that is your contentment and your satisfaction. Only hope in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you've promised to feed us and to satisfy us. Lord, and I know there are so many things that distract us. We're all so easily distracted away from the things that really matter. Lord, help us, Lord, in this age when there are so many forces pulling at us, Lord, to purpose in our heart to feed upon the things of God, to feed upon the truths of your word, to fill up our soul with good things. Hallelujah. And as we pursue you, Lord, then you will bless and you will provide and you will work in our life, even in ways far beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Oh, we thank you for that wonderful promise, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you and you alone can satisfy the longing of our heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Here were the words to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Amen. That's the key. That's really the key to success in life. It's the key to God's blessing in your life, is putting Him first, His word first, feeding on the things that really, really matter. Hallelujah.